Well, again, this is the Tanner Report, and I remind you that we are fundraising, and so you can go to CIUT.FM/donate. Our guest is Jean-Hilaire Yappy. He is the president of the Ivorian, I always have trouble saying that, I confess, Ivorian Congress of Canada. Jean-Hilaire, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Phil.
It's very important. Your country is undergoing a crisis, but I am not seeing any reports in the Canadian media, unless I diligently look. And when I do, I think I'm simply told that the president of Ivory Coast, using the English form, has been returned to office, and he has 94% of the vote. Seems to be a little, usually when people hear a number like that, they automatically understand maybe there was it's a fraud of some type. Please tell us, what's the situation in Ivory Coast?
Oh, the situation is hard, but Ivorian are determined to, I would say, kick Mr. Ouattara out of office. Yes, there were a kind of election, we can say, but it's not a real election because, again, the election took place, was organized by Ouattara himself. He decided that he will run for a third term, which is forbidden by the constitution, so he ran. He organized the election by his own electoral commission, and his constitutional council declared him winner with the score that you could see, and the kind of score which is quite impossible in any democracy. Yes. So that's the situation. And the situation is, in fact, the opposition boycotted the election, made sure that it could not happen in a lot of areas. And just an example, Abidjan, in the office where Ouattara himself voted, just a few persons voted after him, no one else. So that's the real situation. The participation was less than 10%. It was estimated around something, 8%, but Ouattara says it is 54%. No. That's the real thing. Less than 10% participation. So it was not an election. It was a hijacking of the power, and Ouattara succeeded in hijacking the power. And don't forget also, a lot of people have been killed for this election, killed by Ouattara and his militia. More than 85 persons died because of these elections.
Yeah. Well, and I understand some opposition figures have also been arrested, taken out. Are they legally being held? How do they account for the removal of political opposition leaders?
Yeah, but you know, in Côte d'Ivoire, before the election and after the election, there were what we call the milice encagoulé, to say in French. It's that we have the militia, they come masked to your home, they rape you, and you disappear. Yeah. And a few days later, you can appear in a prison, and a few days later, they will remove you from the prison to another destination. So currently, some major figure of the opposition in Côte d'Ivoire have simply disappeared because even the lawyers don't know where they are.
You know, we spoke to you perhaps a month ago, and when this you anticipated this crisis coming, and warned everyone that of what would take place. Now, it was no secret that Mr. Ouattara had changed the constitution to and permit himself to run, and that he had a history, violent history. He'd been involved in the armed struggles, which had led to a crisis some years ago. So this was one you'd think everyone would be watching. Now, the United Nations helped install Mr. Ouattara. They helped put him in power. And yes, the French very actively helped put him there in the name of democracy. So where is the United Nations now on this matter? And where's France?
You know, United Nations are in the, you know, they are doing the same thing, because they appointed Ouattara as the president of a country, and they want to keep him as a president. So they said nothing when the opposition said that the conditions for a fair election was not, was not there, and that there should not be an election, but things should be prepared better. They said nothing, they let it go. And after the election, what they suggest the opposition is to go and discuss with Ouattara and respect the constitutional order. But currently the opposition says that the constitutional order is not at Ouattara's side, because Ouattara has violated the constitution. So the problem here today is that the United Nations and also the so-called international community say nothing, because they want Ouattara to stay there. They did not congratulate him as they do for his election, but they don't help the opposition make sure that things are done right. So they are clearly supporting Ouattara in his rape of the election in Côte d'Ivoire.
Yeah, you know, it suggests that to use an old-fashioned word, this seems to be kind of a neo-colonial exercise. It's very hypocritical. I seem to recall that they were using language like humanitarian intervention and democratic regime change in order to sort out and correct Côte d'Ivoire.
But no, it seems...
when it becomes evident that they've done is put a dictator in, they say, yes, but, and then they go ahead with what they're doing.
Yes, but because it looks like democracy is not for Africa, you know. In Africa, the rule is to have good dictators, but good meaning that they are working for the neo-colonialist system. Because if you come to power, no matter what you did, if you kill people, you come to power, but you are working for France, for the United States, for this system, then you are a good guy, no matter what you do. Yeah. But if you are fighting for a true democracy, but they say that you are not for their interest, then they will fight you, even if you are a democratic person. That's what happened to President Gbagbo. Don't forget it. President Gbagbo is the one person who broke democracy to Côte d'Ivoire. They removed him and they put power in power Ouattara, and Ouattara is showing the real thing. Now he's running for a third term, which is forbidden by the system of Côte d'Ivoire, but no one cares.
Yes. We're speaking to Jean-Hilaire Yapi, a president of the Ivoirian Congress of Canada. Talk about the economic, what kind of economy is it? And what do countries like France, who are really actively involved here, hope to benefit? What do they get from this?
It's a long history, but just to give you an idea, Côte d'Ivoire is the first producer of cocoa in the world. Côte d'Ivoire has gold. Côte d'Ivoire has a lot of mining resources. Côte d'Ivoire has oil. Côte d'Ivoire has gas. And all these things are wealth. And you take Côte d'Ivoire, but Côte d'Ivoire is just a small country. But we have Senegal, you have Mali, you have Guinea, you have a lot of countries like that, former French colonies. We have a lot of wealth, a lot of natural resources. And these natural resources France want to keep it under his possession and at least to be the one who is sharing with the other member of the so-called, again, international community. So these things are first what is giving power to France, because France is controlling more than 11 countries in Africa. It gives him some power. He can position him in the United Nations as a major power in the world, and so he speaks for us. But we can speak. We have the intelligence, we have the people, we have everything, and we can control ourselves. But France is imposing himself as the guy, the country who is owning us and who is deciding what is good and what is not good for our countries and what it is, what we think that is unacceptable today. And don't forget also, when you take a country like France, they use electricity. The electricity come from what? From uranium, which is produced in Africa. And the country where they take the major part of the uranium has no electricity. How can you understand that? You take a country like Gabon. Gabon has a lot of oil since the years 50. But go to Gabon and see how much they are developed. No development. But the history knows that the current president, his father has been president for almost 40 years. And since his death, his child is running the country and is no democracy there. But this is supported by France because they have the control of the resources of Gabon. So France clearly doesn't allow Africa, some African countries, to develop themselves because they take everything they can, mostly free, from this country. Uh-huh. So they want to keep this control over the resources over those countries. And that's why we are looking with the people like Ouattara that they impose at the head of the countries. And the population's life doesn't, it's not their problem.
Yeah. I want to remind our listeners, and by the way, this is Jean-Hilaire Yapi, and he's very generous with his time. We don't want to take up too much of it. He's the president of the Ivoirian Congress of Canada. You told us something that really struck me the last time we spoke to you on this matter of democracy. When the United Nations and France and powers intervened after the election of President Gbagbo and helped install the man called President Ouattara, they took the ballots and the reports. The Supreme Court of Cote d'Ivoire to the UN headquarters and destroyed them. Is that right?
It is right. Absolutely right. What happened is, after the election, there were a crisis because the Constitutional Council, which is the Supreme Court, the kind of Supreme Court of Cote d'Ivoire, which is the organism that can say who won the election, they decided that Gbagbo won. But then France was not the solution for France. So they decided that Ouattara won. So Gbagbo said, okay, let's recount the vote, recount everything, and if I have lost, then I will go. They said no, they took the voting papers, and they just destroyed it because they didn't want it to be recount. Because they knew that if we recount, Ouattara will never be the winner of that election. So they imposed us Ouattara for 10 years. Okay, after 10 years, we expect that, okay, because the constitution says a president can run only 2 terms, then Ouattara will go. No, they are managing to keep him at power, and they say nothing because They want Ouattara to rule the country, but they know that clearly it is not democratic what is happening. From the beginning to today, no democracy in Côte d'Ivoire. Just the interest of superpowers.
And I assume the people will resist that, will they not? Because they are democratic people.
Yeah, the people who resist that are just jailed. You know, just imagine that the former prime minister of Côte d'Ivoire has disappeared and he is in jail. Yes. The former president of Côte d'Ivoire, they just made a blockus of his house. And a lot of people have been, as I say, have been killed.
Yes.
85 person have been killed. Last week, a young guy was demonstrating, has been killed, but he has his head cut. And the guys who killed him were playing football with his head.
Yeah.
The pictures are there. And these are supporters of Ouattara, clearly. And they have not been arrested. We can see them, identify them in the videos.
Yes.
No arrests.
Yeah. So the situation is obviously going to worsen. The more they try to stay with Ouattara, the more they're going to create a situation where the people will have to take power to themselves.
Exactly. What will happen, I predict, is currently the opposition has started a kind of dialogue with Ouattara. But the opposition is in the same position. They say, the relation that you made, we don't accept it. We have to redo everything. And you have to free everybody before we can continue to discuss with you. So if Ouattara stays in his position that he won the election and is the current president, I think that things will get worse in Côte d'Ivoire. And after what happened, you know, all these people killed, and the fact that, you know, some young people are just driven to villages to attack the villagers and to kill people. This is unacceptable, and this can lead to a major conflict in Côte d'Ivoire.
Yeah.
But that's what Ouattara is supporting. That's what clearly Macron and other superpowers are supporting in our countries. And what? They don't want us to go to Europe. But today, the report are saying that the third country which is bringing the so-called illegal immigrant to France, the third country is Côte d'Ivoire.
Ah.
Yes.
So it plays into the new issue that the great powers are continually talk about. And they create these problems. They create them. And then they
create all the problems.
We have too many people here.
Because the young people of Côte d'Ivoire, they don't need to go to France.
Yes.
They have everything in their country. But the way the superpowers are behaving in our countries make the young to go out.
That's becoming the story of this epoch, I'm afraid. Jean-Hilaire Yapi, thank you very much. He's the president of the Ivorian Congress, pardon me, of Canada. We really want to return to this matter because ignoring it or pretending it's not there adds to the problem. So Jean-Hilaire, thank you very, very much.
Can I add one last thing, please?
Please do. Yes.
Yeah, the last thing that you should know is that currently a lot of Ivorians are fleeing to bordering countries like Ghana, Liberia, and already 10,000 people have moved from Côte d'Ivoire to those countries as refugees because of what is currently happening in Côte d'Ivoire.
That's very important to underline. I thank you very, very much for that. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Phil. Thank you for everything, for giving us a voice.
We're going to stay with this subject. This is the Taylor Report, and we'll be right back.